Hello, and welcome to our 19th episode of Hey, We're Talking Here. We're doing something a little bit special today because we've got a new microphone.
Ooh, so fancy.
It'll be a binaural experience.
Yeah, like it's portable and everything. It probably sounds like shit, I don't know, because I don't know anything. But, you know, we'll give it a go.
We'll get used to it.
Yeah.
We've got some stuff to talk about. We've got some movies. I've got some games.
It's been a bit dry at the moment, to be honest, but...
A little bit.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
Let's get going. We're going to talk about some films first. Obviously, the most, the most mainstream or popular one that we went to see was the Lego Movie 2.
Oh, yeah.
Which I really enjoyed. I didn't actually hear much about it. I heard kind of mixed reviews, like some people saying it was great, some people saying it wasn't as awesome as the first one.
Yeah, I pretty much avoided reviews.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to decide for myself what I thought, and I really fucking liked it.
It was great. I did think the first one was better, but
I haven't seen the first one since the year it came out, so I was very much it won't really affect my enjoyment of it because it's been so long I can't really remember, but I know I loved it at the time, but it's been so long since I've seen it that it wasn't specifically I was like, if this movie wasn't going to be as good, then I wouldn't really know, because it's that long since you've seen the movie, you know, it doesn't really make a difference. But yeah, I really like the message of the film. I think it's really sweet.
Yeah.
It's very funny. It has some great cameos.
It did have some cameos. Is it this guy?
Yeah, I didn't realize Richard Ayoade was in it.
Yeah, and Noel Fielding as
well. Yeah, and Noel Fielding. And Bruce Willis, of course. Yeah. Yeah, some great people. But I know someone who really hated it, and I'm like, but how can you hate it?
I don't get how you can, down and out hate it.
I don't understand. Because I think it's, the message of the film is, you know, just be nice.
Be nice other people.
You don't need to be tough
Of those different to you.
Yeah, not everything's awesome, but that doesn't mean you have to be...
shitty.
Yeah, you don't have to be a dickhead. That's a really great message that kids need to see, I think, at the moment.
Mm.
I really enjoyed that, so... I do love the Lego movies. The Ninjago one wasn't so good, but this one and Lego Batman was just on point, so...
Damn straight it was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get how anyone can really hate it. I don't really have this criticism, but I can see one criticism that people might have is that the first one seemed more like plain comedy, whereas this one was more like pushing an agenda.
Yeah.
But I thought the agenda was quite
important. Good one. Yeah,
That children, and not just children, everyone in the fucking world needs to hear at this point.
It's not trying to push a political view anything like that.
It's just saying, be happy,
be nice,
love. And it didn't skimp on the comedy. Emmett could have been in it a little bit more.
Yeah,
but no, it was really funny, and it was a good time.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's all I have to say about that, but really enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely go see it. If you like the first one, at least give it a go.
Yeah, I got a lot of Lego movies. What else have you seen recently?
I watched a film on Netflix. I don't think it's a Netflix film, but it was just on Netflix.
Paddleton.
Called Paddleton.
I didn't watch it, but I will watch it.
It's really, really sweet. It's essentially the story of two best friends, two bros. They don't really have anyone but themselves, but each other. One gets diagnosed with a terminal illness, and they go on a road trip to get the pills that will end his life, because he decides to kill himself when it gets bad. And it's
sounds fun.
It's really real and emotional, particularly the end. The end was just when he actually does it, is just I mean, it's not a spoiler, because it's not like a Hollywood magical moment where they go all around road trip around the world. It literally is. They go on a road trip, get the pills, come back. But it's not about the journey. It's about the friendship they have. Yeah. And it's really, really, it's just so sweet. When he actually does it, it's no, I'm crying again. It's really, it's a really good film, really well made, really emotional, and it's not too long either.
Oh, so yeah, it's an hour and a half, isn't it? Yeah, no,
it's got Mark Duplass, he plays the terminal ill friend, and Ray Romano from Everyone Loves Raymond.
Yeah, he's making a turn in he's more dramatic roles. Yeah,
he's Vince Vaughn it.
Oh, he's in that, what was that movie called? You know, Kumail, what's his name, the really good romantic comedy, but he was
The Sick of It?
Yeah, that's it. I couldn't think of what it's called. I really enjoyed that.
He was really good on that. Yeah, he's good, man.
Yeah, he's good.
I swear, I said it before and I'll say it again, comedic actors make some of the best dramatic actors.
Steve Carell, John C. Reilly. They do some of the best shit, when they're doing, crossing to the other side. And or sometimes even, with The Big Sick, it's a bit of comedy and drama.
Mm.
That's where they really shine. I really look forward to watching it.
It is really good. It will make you cry at the end, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's nice.
Mm. Speaking of Netflix movies. I watched Isn't It Romantic, which was out like yesterday, I think, on there, starring Rebel Wilson. It's directed by the same guy who did The Final Girls, which we both really enjoyed. I remember we watched that.
Yeah,
it's another, it's a meta horror film, and then Isn't It Romantic is like a meta sort of rom-com. Basically, she's not your typical like beautiful lead, you know, she's not like super skinny, but she's like, she hits her head and she's in a coma, and during that she's stuck in a rom-com, and she's like, she hates them. She's that person that hates them and thinks they're like dangerous, and I kind of agree to some extent that they're a bit, you know, dodgy. But she like goes on this journey, like trying to figure out how to get out of it. She's, there's like the rules of the world. It's like everyone thinks she's beautiful, everything, it's really funny, and she's like, what, no. And she can't swear. It's like a PG-13 one, so she's like, I can't even fucking swear, but like everything gets bleeped out. And it's just, and she thinks there's like Liam Hemsworth is in it, and Adam Devine, I don't know.
Adam Devine.
Yeah, so he's in it as well, and she's like, oh, so obviously I have to like fall in love with one of these guys, and then, or make them fall in love with me, and that's how I get out. But she goes on this journey of self-love, and like she learns that she doesn't need that, and it's a nice message, and I really liked it. I wasn't really sure about Rebel Wilson before, because I've only ever seen her in like sort of like
sidekick
roles, like in Pitch Perfect. She's like, oh, she's fat, that's funny. Like,
yeah,
but
kind of like Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, exactly. But I prefer her over Melissa McCarthy, I think. But I liked her as, this is her first like lead, and she, I think the script was actually really funny, so I liked her in this a lot more than I haven't really seen enough of her to like make too much of a judgment.
Yeah,
but I'd say over like Pitch Perfect and stuff, I'd prefer her in this. And I just think it was a nice sort of message overall, and I kind of identified with it, and it was just something that, again, people kind of need to see, I think. It kind of reminded me of that Crazy Ex-Girlfriend episode where Nathaniel ends up in a wrong-com. It's so good.
Best episode.
Oh, I love it. Just like, there's even a fun karaoke scene, because of course has to be.
Of course.
Yeah, and there's like a little dance number at the end. It's great. I really enjoyed it. So yeah, I definitely recommend that. Yeah, I wasn't too sure like going to, but I was like, I'm gonna see what it's like, and yeah, I thought it was fun. So have you seen anything else? I've got a few movies.
I don't actually have, well, I haven't really seen anything else, I'll be honest. What have you seen?
I've got three movies that two of them are like not recent. The first one I will talk about is like The Hole in the Ground, which I went to see a preview of, and I think it was out yesterday actually here.
Oh yeah, wasn't that slated to be the new Hereditary or something like that?
I'd say it was more like along the lines of The Babadook, to be honest. I wouldn't say it was trying to market itself as like Hereditary, but I'd say more like,
does that mean it was good?
I thought it was alright. Yeah, like it wasn't amazing, but it was a good film. Like, yeah. I think it started out a bit slow. Not, the sort of middle of the movie is quite slow. Basically the premise is that this woman, she's moved to a new house with her son Chris, her name's Sarah, and it's kind of this old house. They don't have, you know, a lot going on. She's sort of, it's implied she's running away from her husband or Chris's dad, and that he was probably quite abusive in their relationship. She's just trying to like be a single mum, and like he's kind of I guess Chris is like a bit like, you know, where's dad, you said he'd be here, like it's like, honey, that's not great, it's not how it works,
daddy's not coming, like, back.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, but, you know. And he sort of runs off, and then they live near a forest where there's a giant, like, sinkhole. And for some reason, no one is concerned about this giant fucking sinkhole. That's, like, clearly, like, in violation of all the health and safety laws, probably. So no one seems to know it's there. Just, like, and he runs off, and then she finds him again. But after that, he doesn't seem quite the same. Like, there's all these, like, he's actually being like nicer, and you know when you're like, this ain't right.
Yeah.
There's like all these subtle changes. She's like, am I going crazy, or has my son been body snatched?
Who are you, what have you done with the real Chris?
Yeah, so I enjoyed it. It has like a really nice look to it. It's like all these, like, it's quite a dark film. It's like a little greys and like earthy colors. I quite like the way it like looks. Yeah, I don't think it has quite the, like, see, I don't like Hereditary, but it doesn't have the strong directing quite as much as that, you know, how at least it has like good choreography, like at least that was unique about the film. I wouldn't say that so much for this one, but I think it is the director's first feature film. I think he's done some like short films before, but this is his first feature. I really like the actors in it. So the one who plays Sarah, she's really good. She's kind of like likable, and you're like kind of relating to her and rooting for her, because she's actually quite I guess kind of bubbly, like kind of playful, but also she's got this, like, she's trying to hide this fear and like understand what's going on, and seeing her as a mum and trying to, like, you know, my instincts are telling me this isn't right, but also am I crazy, like, you don't know, she's like making it up. And then at the end, I'm gonna spoil anything, but like I quite like the end. I like that there was, it really easily could have done like this sort of plot twist type ending, you know, like but it did not do that, and I was like, oh, they're gonna do it. I was like, because it does have a few cliches in it, you know, like, but I think that lends itself to the fact that you don't know if it's supernatural or not. Like, it has, like, creaky floorboards and, like, doors slamming shut, and you're like, what is this? but I think it does have enough spark in there to like make it not completely cliche. Yeah, I was like, they are definitely gonna like bring this back and, you know, make it like super cliche, but they didn't. And they sort of like ended the film with like how the experience affected her after all of it, rather than just going, oh, is this still happening? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I'm like, it's over, but is it over?
And hand comes off.
But the idea at the end is like, she's like, it is over, but she's so paranoid that she's just like constantly looking out for signs of this possibly happening again, which I really, really appreciated, I have to say. Then I watched a couple of older films. So the first one I watched was Colin, which is a zombie film. It was literally apparently made for like 40 quid. This is, I think this must have been made around 2007-ish.
I think I've heard of it.
But yeah, so it's like, basically from, you see, it is about a zombie. Like, you literally follow this zombie around London. It's just walking around, like, getting into various, you know, situations and, you know, it's just a zombie walking around. And then at the end, you sort of realise, it's all, like, it ends up sort of where it started, I guess, and you sort of see the sort of the emotional sort of side of like how before they turned, like you sort of see what motivated them as a person a little bit. And it's just kind of sad because you like see a zombie and you're like, oh, it's just a zombie. It's like, you know, it doesn't have a name. It, well, until the end or whatever. Yeah, like this, he comes across his sister at one point and she's like, but you know what, he's like still Colin, right? And it's like, no. It's just kind of depressing. That's it. So like bits of it feel quite long because, you know, he's just a zombie walking around, but there are bits that it's like, oh, that actually hits kind of hard. Like, you know, and I think it's worth a watch for that. And I watched Barbarian Sound Studio, I think that's how you say it, which is it Toby Jones? I want to say his name is. You know, the really famous actor who's in everything. So yeah, because we're going to see the London play of it.
Should be cool.
Soon, so I was like, I should watch this. It was, I quite enjoyed it, but like it felt like it didn't quite do, like it didn't go
far enough.
Yeah, it was like, so basically it's about Toby plays this sort of Foley sound artist guy who goes to Italy and he's doing this job and he's working on a like a Jello film, so he's doing like all the sound effects of that and, you know, women like screaming and, you know, doing the dubbing and stuff like that. First of all, it's really interesting to see, like, I love seeing like Foley artists at work. It's like the coolest thing. So just seeing how they make the sounds and stuff is really fun in itself.
It's really satisfying for some reason.
It is so cool. So I can't wait to see this on stage when they actually do it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's so dope. See how they like make these various sounds. You're like, what is that? And it turns out it's like a watermelon or something. You know? It's just so great. It's really interesting. And yeah, he's just sort of like, it's really interesting in how it shows the men are sort of in control of the situation. The women are like, oh, I have thoughts about this, but you know, they don't get heard. They're just like, you know, I have like ideas about his character, the way I should do this bit, the way that some women are, you know, harassed. And it's like, and he's like the character, he's like, what, seeing this happen, he's like, I think he has some morals, but then he sort of becomes accustomed to it and just sort of becomes a part of it as well. He becomes accountable as well in that sense, which I think is really interesting. And at one point, one of the actresses is like, it stands up for herself and is like, fuck you guys. And it's really, I don't know, it's really interesting in a sense. But I thought the way it was going to go was like, maybe he would end up, you know, repeating the actions of the film. He's like surrounded by all this like horror thing. He started out as basically like a nature sound like thing for like the BBC or whatever, that type of thing. Like Country Fire or some shit, I don't know. And he's just thrown into like this horror movie and he's like, okay, if he was surrounded by all that, you know, would he, and he, I thought maybe he'd unlock something in him that maybe he would start acting out himself, but that's not what happened. I was a little bit disappointed. Maybe it's just like my expectations. I didn't really know anything about the movie, so I was like, okay, I'll just watch it and see what it's like. But I was kind of expecting some of that. I think it would have been more interesting that way.
Yeah,
but I still quite enjoyed it for what it was. Yeah, so I think he's a great actor too, so...
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think that's all the movies I watched.
I think that's it for me. I did watch a couple of them, but I think we've reviewed... I'm a new reviewer for Snakebite Reviews.
Yeah, join the team, bro!
So,
yeah,
go check out some of our reviews on there.
Yeah, I did also review The Hole in the Ground for that as well. If you can follow us on Twitter, like... My name is... What is it? DavChloe196 or something.
Yeah, mine's Jonesy96.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised it wasn't taken... Like, it really weirdly surprised.
There's only
surprised.
One of you, though, dude.
Damn straight. There's only one Jonesy.
Yeah. Yeah, so follow us there. We also have Instagram for this thing. Just search the podcast title or whatever. Yeah, and we are doing... Next episode will be our 20th episode, so we'll be doing something very special for that, we hope. We've got some plans in place. I have some special guests.
It's all very exciting.
No one famous, just like friends.
Like I should famous I should to us.
Keep your expectations like yeah.
I have some games that I can talk about.
We've got games, son.
You got games, son.
Yeah.
Because I was off this week because I'm a mummy. And I have absolutely nothing to play because essentially the next game that I'm getting isn't coming out until the 29th of March. How depressing is that? Mm. So I thought I'd go on a little indie adventure.
Mm.
I thought, you know what? I have some money. I'm going to buy some kind of cheap indie games that have been out for about 2 years or more, but now are really cheap. So I'm going to get them and play them. And I'm really glad I did because they're fucking great, the ones I played. So I started off by playing Little Nightmares, which I actually think you would really like.
Mm.
It's on PlayStation for like £7 at the moment,
awesome.
Or like £6, so I would definitely recommend it. It's like a puzzle platformer horror game.
Oh.
And it's like, it's really, first of all, it looks really good, and it's really easy to play because it's essentially you run, you jump, and you interact with stuff.
Mm.
And essentially, like, you as the player don't really know what the ultimate goal is, but you know that you kind of play this little, almost like Georgie from It, because it's like,
oh, yeah.
it's a tiny little boy, or a tiny little child.
We don't assume the, genders here.
Damn straight. In like a yellow, like raincoat kind of thing.
Yeah.
And essentially you have to like solve puzzles in each room to get from room to room, with the occasional, particularly when you get like halfway through the game, there are like bosses that you can't fight. You just have to like evade.
Yeah.
And it gets really, it is a horror film, but it's a horror game, but it's not like scary. It's more like kind of creepy and kind of tense.
Mm.
Like they make weird like ape noises, these
ugh.
Things. And I'll show you some pictures afterwards because I took some pictures.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like horrible long-armed men and fat chefs with skin coming off.
Ugh.
And stuff like that. And it's like, By the end, it's interesting because by the end, it's like the world of the game kind of opens up a bit more, and it's very obviously it's developed by Tarsia Studios, just throwing out that, but it's like it's very obviously like Chinese, I think it is, and there's definitely like a message in there. Like, I'm not going to presume too much about what it is. Look it up if you want to play it. I definitely recommend it, but there's definitely like a message of like you, it's almost like you're playing the little guy, literally the little guy kind of overthrowing the big guys a little bit. And I think it's definitely got some like political statements to say, but it doesn't shove it in your face. It's very much about the gameplay, which is really, really fun, and the world, which is really cool and creepy. So I definitely recommend that one. And I'll put this out as well. What I really loved about all of these games is that they only took like an evening to play.
Yeah.
Which is just like, sometimes you just really need that. Mm. Especially if you're like, not even like us two, like if you're like a proper adult with children and proper responsibilities,
yeah.
And you don't have time to play that like massive, like Red Dead Redemption video games, which take hours to complete. Mm. These like tiny indie games are absolutely perfect because they're so great. So the second one I played was What Happened to Edith Finch?
What did happen to Edith
what
did, Finch?
What remains of Edith oh. Finch even, which is like, it's kind of similar in a way. It's like an adventure game, and essentially you play as Edith Finch, a pregnant woman who comes back to her family home after her mum's died, and essentially you go from like room to room. You kind of have to do some little puzzles. There's not a whole lot. Again, like Little Nightmares, there's not a whole lot you can really do. But you essentially go from like room to room, and it's all about like the stories of the family. And at the end of every story, like someone dies, and it's like it's almost like there's a family curse where everyone just goes a little bit crazy and then dies. And it's essentially really is just like you wandering through this house, hearing these stories. And it's quite poignant at the end because it essentially leaves you with the message of like, don't be afraid of death. Don't, you know, just be happy that you're here in the first place. And that's kind of sweet. I did find it a little bit boring by the end. But I only thought that was because when I watched the trailer, it kind of marketed itself a bit more as a horror game. So I like kept expecting like a ghost to come out. But it was more like the figurative ghosts of a family home. And it's a little bit pretentious.
The past is haunting me.
Yeah. it's not my favourite game that I played. But I would say it was quite a poignant little game. And again, I only took like an evening to play. So I'd recommend that one. And I played like a really, really fucking beautiful, unbelievably fucking lovely game called Abzu, which is developed by Giant Squid Studios.
I like the name.
Yeah, it's a great name. They did Journey, which is like a really like infamous indie game, which everyone loves. And I still need to play that, to be honest. But it's, again, similar. Like, I think what's so great about these games is it literally, it isn't so much about the gameplay, but more about like the world and the experience. Like, literally, you play as like a diver, and all you do is like swim around. Again, from like, there's a lot of rooms in these games. You like room to room.
Yeah.
And it's just like you just surrounded by fish and like sharks and whales and stuff. And it's literally like the experience. It's a really relaxing, serene, beautiful experience. I know it sounds kind of pretentious, but it's just really nice and calming. It's just like, I'm just swimming around looking at these fish. And that's essentially what it is. Sure. I mean, like, it throws some challenges at you, but not a lot. And it's just, it's like the music in this game is fucking great. Like, I never really understood why people get like CDs and LPs of like game soundtracks and film soundtracks, but now I really understand because it's so fucking great. So I would definitely recommend that one, especially if you played Journey and you like that. I want to try some more of their stuff. Then the last one I played, well, last two actually, because I wanted to play Deltarune, which is a new game by indie developer Toby Fox, who did Undertale. But just when I was about to play it, was like, this is better if you've played Undertale. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I got to play Undertale then. So, and I fucking played it from like 11 a.m. to about 6 p.m., like non-stop. Maybe like stopped for like half an hour. It's such a good fucking game.
Really?
It's like an RPG kind of like fantasy game. Mm. But it's quite nice because it's a little bit meta, but it's like, it's so funny. Like, it has such great wit and charm, and like the characters, like the wacky characters that you meet. It's like from the get-go, you're just like, I fucking love this game. It is hilarious. But it also, it's not afraid to get real. Like, by the end, you're like, oh my God, is this game making me cry? What the hell?
Gotta love those games.
It's like,
I might try that.
I've heard about it.
I only really heard like music from it, which is really nice.
The music's fantastic.
Yeah, but that's all I really knew about it, so
I would definitely recommend it. I mean, it's quite a unique like gameplay as well. Like, apart from like walking around the world and interacting with the characters, when you have a fight with a character, it's almost like mini game kind of controls. Like, you play as like a heart in a square, which is your soul, and you essentially, like, when they're attacking you, you just have to like avoid their attacks. And what's so like really great about it is it like, it's more about trying to be peaceful in this world, and like, you get more out of the game if you spare the enemies. Like, and it's more of a challenge if you, like, you need to do certain acts when you're engaged in a battle to spare the enemies. And it's about, like, I'm not going to spoil too much, but yeah, essentially it's like, these damn humans are always the fucking bad guys in it. and it's, yeah, it's like,
really are.
It's like, and I think that's really unique and really, it's a nice message as well. Similar to Lego Movie 2, it's like, let's just be peaceful, yeah? We don't need to fight. And it's really,
just be chill, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it's a really great game. So then I finished that. And I played Deltarune Chapter 1, which is free. on Nintendo Switch at the moment. I don't know if it's free on any other... I mean, it might be, but it's definitely free on Nintendo Switch because that's where I played it. And just from the fucking moment I've played it, it's like, I love this game even more. It's essentially like, when I finished Undertale, there was like a couple of things. I was like, I really like that game, but I kind of wish they had like, they would change this or do that. And as soon as you like 5 minutes into the game, you're like, they've fucking done everything. Like they've just managed to build upon what they've already created. But it's also so like, you don't need to play Undertale to play Deltarune. But it helps purely because some things are kind of familiar, but you like, it's a prequel. So you see some of the characters again. It's like, hey, it's that guy. Oh no, I know what's going on here. Like, oh dear, this is sad. It's, yeah, and the gameplay is essentially the same. It's very similar, but this time you play in like almost like a Dungeons and Dragons style, like party. So you have about 2 to 3 characters who you play with and interact with, and I just think that makes the whole experience so much nicer because you just have like character interaction all throughout, and it's like a character story. And again, it pushes like the whole let's be peaceful, let's not be violent agenda on you, and I think that's really, really cool. It's really, I'm not going to say too much. I really like the way they've kind of integrated some of like the avoiding attacks kind of like gameplay into just the world. When you're walking around the world now, there'll be like obstacles that you have to avoid. I think that adds a bit more of a fresh challenge to it. So essentially, it's if you like Undertale, or if you are not sure if you want to get Undertale, play this game. It builds upon everything Undertale did. It's really, really fucking great. It's funny, it's witty, it's charming, it's sad as fuck. Like, it's really not afraid to get real, this game. And it's just such a great fucking experience. So I would definitely recommend that. And that's my little indie adventure.
Ooh, nice.
If you're still listening.
Yeah.
I'll try and... Because as I said, the next game I'm getting isn't coming out until like the 29th of March. So I'm sure I'll play some other games. Because I've got to pass the time somehow.
Yeah. Have you finished... Resident Evil.
I finished... Resident Evil 2, but Biohazard.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean.
We need to finish that today.
Yeah, can't play without me.
The fucking grandma's gonna come at me, I swear.
She's creepy, bro. She's just there all the time, just being all creepy.
She's just
and
singing,
shit.
And then stops when you
and
look at her.
And then disappears. And
like, we know you're up to something, grandma.
She's gonna be the worst, you just know.
Shut your face, grandma.
Yeah. I guess we could talk about the Oscars. That was this week.
Oh, yeah.
It was really boring. I didn't watch any of it, but I was bored just not watching it. What did you think? I heard everyone was like really upset about Green Book winning Best Picture.
Apparently it's quite controversial because it supposedly tries to tackle racism, but hits all the wrong notes.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, so I can't say, but apparently
I've heard it's average anyway.
I was very surprised that it won Best Picture. I mean, out of all of them.
Yeah, I mean, I would have expected something like The Favourite or Roma. I definitely thought it was in the Roma.
I think it is almost definitely because it, you know, was it last year or the year before? Was it hashtag Oscars so white?
Yeah.
They're obviously going to go for something that tackles racism or, you know, has some diversity in it. But it's like they almost don't want to go so far as to do Black KK Klansman or Black Panther. So like, let's do Green Book because it had some white people in, you know.
Yeah, no, I know Spike Lee was very upset about it. I still need to see Black Klansman. It was quite good.
Same.
Yeah, but I think the same like 5 movies are nominated for stuff this year. It's really boring.
It always is, man.
Yeah. Who is Alfonso? I don't know how to say his name.
Alfonso Cuarón.
I would say Cuarón for Roma, best director. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen enough of these movies to make too much of a judgment.
No.
I mean, he made the best Harry Potter movie. So
which one did he make?
He made the Azkaban, Prisoner of Azkaban.
Okay.
It's like the best Harry Potter movie. So
it was quite good.
And there's in Gravity as well, I think.
Yeah.
I quite like that.
Gravity was quite good. I like Gravity.
Yeah. So Rami Malek won Bohemian Rhapsody.
Which is also interesting.
Yeah. I thought it would maybe be Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought. But I'm actually quite glad that he won because even though the movie as a whole wasn't like super amazing, but I enjoyed it. But like,
it's nice that there's some recognition there.
Yeah, because at least I think he really carried the film. Like, he was so good in his performance. Yeah, totally. Anyway, I think he's in talks to be the next Bond villain, which is exciting.
He does look a bit like a villain.
looks a bit slimy. How dare you? Yeah, I get what you mean. Apparently he fell off the stage afterwards. He had a bit of a Jennifer Lawrence moment.
Olivia Colman for Best Actress. Now that's really interesting.
Yeah,
I actually quite like Olivia Colman.
I do. I think everyone quite likes her. I don't think anyone's mad about this.
No, like, yeah. I mean,
she's so likable.
The Favourite looks kind of boring, but I do like her.
Yeah.
So I'm quite glad out of every. I'm quite glad that. What the hell? Two things. Firstly, this is the first time that I've actually properly looked at all of these nominations.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga. And Melissa McCarthy,
nominated
for Best Actress.
Interestingly enough, she also won a Razzie this year for.
It tells you all you need to know.
Time Matters, but I haven't seen. I do kind of want to see that. It sounds interesting. It could be. I mean, the fact that she's nominated is kind of incredible. Like, crazy. It must be good.
But
yeah.
Also, I essentially woke up on the day when all the winners were announced.
Yeah.
By my friend Jordan being like, "Yay, Glenn Close didn't win for The Wife." And we both kind of just like celebrated in union.
I couldn't believe it was nominated because you hated it so much that I was like,
so crap.
I was like, surely it must be rubbish.
And she's just not. She just goes around like a moody teenager. Like she doesn't act very good in it. Like none of them do. But I'm not. I've already ranted about that before.
Yeah.
So Olivia Colman, I'll say that's.
My favorite moment is when Emma Stone was like so proud of her and just like hysterically crying. Like she was crying more than I don't think she cried when she won. I think she won an Oscar once or something.
Maybe.
And
maybe
like
La La Land. Or something.
Yeah. And she was more excited about Olivia Colman winning. And I just like want them to get married like so much.
It's very interesting.
That's so cute. Like
peep show to Oscars.
That's incredible. I don't think she could believe it either.
She got
here. You know, best original screenplay.
Green Book
again.
Okay.
Best
adapted screenplay, Black KKKlansman. Well, at least it won something, I suppose.
Yeah. I want to see if Bill Street could talk. That sounds. Apparently, it's really, really good. Apparently, it's like.
Yeah, it looks
tearjerker.
Quite good. Best animated feature film. I'm glad Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse won because I mean I haven't seen it. Controversial.
I was like, it's got to be between that and Isle of Dogs. I was going to be really upset.
I feel like Isle of Dogs should have won purely because the animation in Isle of Dogs, the stop motion animation, is fucking perfection.
Yeah.
But
I think I enjoyed Spider-Man more as a movie as a whole, but I agree with you on the animation thing.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I would have been happy either way.
Yeah,
like,
to be fair,
with what, either of those. I'm mad that Isle of Dogs didn't win Best Original Score. Black Panther won it.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
We'll talk
about that in a moment.
Yeah.
But oh, look.
It's right now. Yeah.
Best Original Score, Black Panther. Now the Black Panther wins. It's very obviously because the Oscars are like, well, we've got to give it some stuff.
Yeah.
So it just gave it, like, some random stuff. Like, best original... Oh, we can give it best original score, fuck it. What else did it win?
But Isle of Dogs totally deserved that.
Best production design. You can get that. Fuck it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Oh, the First Man.
I haven't seen First Man,
but the production looked pretty good in it.
Yeah, it was alright. I mean...
I don't know. I mean, I don't really know. I haven't really seen any of those, so... Other than Mary Poppins.
I'm pretty sure that everyone agreed that... Even people who wanted... Black Panther to win some stuff agreed that like the production design and like the special effects weren't that great, but it was just Oscar very obviously being like, oh well, we have to give it something now that we've nominated it.
Mm-hmm.
The uproar if we don't give it at least one award, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I love the score in Isle of Dogs. It was so good. I was like,
oh,
I really wanted
fantastic.
It. I was really rooting for it, but what can you do?
At least First Man won Best Visual Effects, even though I didn't like the film. I mean, it kind of deserved it, I guess.
Yeah, Ready Player One, thank God, didn't win.
Yes, hallelujah.
Anything. I'm surprised if you were nominated for anything. It was really bad.
Best costume... precisely, best costume design, Black Panther.
I'm actually surprised that, like, The Favourite didn't win for that
sort
of thing.
Yeah,
because,
exactly.
You know, like, it's usually, like, period dramas that win that. I would have thought, because, you know, all the research that goes into it and everything. I haven't really seen a lot of these films, to be honest. Best cinematography, we called it.
Roma, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
it would
of course.
Be. I mean, yeah.
I think
best sound editing, Bohemian Rhapsody is quite cool.
I thought that was interesting because I think it should have won best sound mixing, but I think the difference. I don't really understand the difference, but I think there's two separate categories for that, and I don't understand why it was best sound editing rather than mixing. I'm confusion.
I'm confusion.
Yeah, so also, I don't understand, like, the difference, to be honest, but, yeah, sound mixing, I understand more, because they did have to mix a lot. They mixed, like, three different voices for his voice, so...
What?
Yeah.
And he won Best Actor?
Yeah. Okay. Well, one of them was his voice, so...
Best film editing, That's an interesting one.
That was controversial.
Because apparently it's not actually edited that well.
No. There's a scene that people like to go back to where it's like a million different cuts. It's really funny. Yeah. So I don't understand that, but you know. Best short was Bayo, I think it's pronounced. I was really happy with that.
Which one's that?
That's
one?
The I can't remember what it was, one of those Disney shorts.
The dumpling one.
Yeah, the little dumpling one.
The dumpling one was sweet.
I loved it. It was really dark at one point and I was like, yeah, shit, dude.
I was like, what the hell?
It was so good, I liked it. It was one of my favourite ones, I think, recently.
That's essentially all the ones that
yeah.
we can be bothered to talk about.
Yeah.
It's
it was just boring.
Particularly boring.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah, I'm just upset that Jamie Lee Curtis wasn't nominated for anything. Still mad about it. I'll always bring it up.
Fucking best actress. Yeah. It's because horror films get shit unless they're purposefully slated to be like award films.
Yeah.
Which is like the only way these films get awards is if they're like, I'm putting out this film to win an award. You know, it's all fucking shit.
Yeah.
Because Halloween, A, was a great fucking film.
Yeah.
And B, her acting in that is fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah.
Like, she damn fucking deserved the best actress award.
And, like, the only sort of horror films I can think of that sort of win are, like, not necessarily straight-up gory. No,
they're, like, kind of
horror.
Artsy a little bit.
Like, something like, I guess, Silence of the Lambs was more like a thriller, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Get Out, I would say, again, is more like a... Like, it is a horror,
Get Out,
but it's, like...
It
totally deserved it. Like, it absolutely did. But, again, that's more like a, you know, it's very deep and, like...
Yeah.
I'd say it's more of a thriller as well. Although it definitely is a horror. I don't understand. Do you remember when it got nominated for, like, Best Comedy?
Yeah, that was
That was hilarious and insulting and just quite funny. I think it was a BAFTA or something that was nominated for that. It's so weird. Yeah, but, like, A Quiet Place or something.
I really thought that was not kind of subpar film.
I don't think it was amazing. I did enjoy it, though. Interesting concept, too, but, like, yeah.
They could have done more of it, but we've reviewed that.
Yeah, we've reviewed that before.
We won't go into it again.
Yeah, so I think that's it.
That's the Oscars.
Do you have a fuck-off moment of the week, or is it just the Oscars, just in general being the Oscars?
I think it's just the Oscars, you know, just being the Oscars. I mean, it's not that fuck-off, but it's just kind of fuck-off because it's so boring.
Yeah. So I think that's it for this episode.
It is, I think so.
Didn't have as much to talk about, I guess, but, I mean, we've passed the time. We're like
40 minutes.
I think we just rambled a bit. But, yeah, next episode might take a bit longer, I don't know, possibly, but it's going to be very special, we think, so we've got some plans,
Some exciting stuff, so stay tuned, it's going to be great.
So we'll see you soon.
See you later.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.